مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Sirius FM, as well as our beloved listeners of مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, we welcome you to this program, The Bliss of Marriage. The date today is the 10th of Safar. So Haji Suleiman just reminded me it's not Bliss of Marriage. Today is Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. So we're still focusing on marriage. So we are now on fiqh, and today we've got an interesting discussion, inshallah. Today we're speaking about Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah. So that will be discussed with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sabdamad Barakatuhu. In a few moments, we will be starting our program. If you have any questions also, you can send us a message. The number, if you're in a foreign country, is +27 is the code. +27 is the code, 84786-3132. And in our local country, South Africa, you can just put in 084-786-3132. So previous weeks, we've discussed Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimullah. We've discussed also Imam Malik, rahimullah. And today is Imam Shafi, the great giant of fiqh as well. And next week, inshallah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimullah. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Damat Barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Mawlana Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, our topic today, Imam Shafi'i rahimullah. Mufti Saab, is in your introduction, please mention a few points.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 10th of Safar, 1446. Yesterday in Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, Aqsa al-Mubarak, it is the 11th of Safar. Before we start with Imam Shafi'i, etc., then I just want to give you one information, and that is, if you look at the micro and the macro, you will find there's a global war against Islam and true Muslims. See, I'll just take you through. If you look at Burma, you look at the Myanmar Muslims. Again, yesterday there was a massacre against them. And who is doing this? The Buddhist. If you want to know about Buddhism and so forth, then when you're traveling towards Uchis, you're traveling towards, you must remember these places, Witbank and so forth, then you will see that the Buddhists have, just off the highway, you can see a big Buddha center. Thrice I've been there. So anyway, once I went there, I told them that I want to go inside. They told me, no, you can't go inside. I asked them why. He said that the gods are sleeping, are resting. Now, if the gods are sleeping and resting, then who's running the world, you know? So it just shows this man-made religions, how foolish they are. But, you know, there's no shortage. Masses are asses, you know. So that's why the war against Muslim by the Buddhists. Then you go to India and so, then the war by the Hindus and the Mushrikeen, idol worshippers, against Islam and Muslim. And that is not hidden, it's something well known, especially now after Modi, the BJP and the RSS came into power and so forth. So that's the Hindus' war against Islam and the Muslims. Then the Jutla's war, the Jews and the Haramis, their war is going on against us for the past 75, 76 years, 77 years. From 1946, one can say, till now. So you can see the Jutla's war. Then the Christians' war against us is the American politician. You will see how Trump speaks. You will see how the enemy speak and so forth. So every one of them want the Christian domination, the white domination. They want Jewish supremacy and so forth and so on. So me and you as Muslims, once you understood that, then you will understand that what is happening in Gaza, what is happening in other parts of the world. But Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Hikmatullah al-Baligha, who can understand it? The more they attack Muslims, the more their own people embrace Islam. So if you look at statistics, you will find in the past 300 days, today is day number 314, and you will find that thousands and thousands, 30, 40,000 non-Muslims have embraced Islam. And hundreds and thousands and millions of people, non-Muslims, protesting and so forth. So the whole shift, you know, paradigm shift we call it, has taken place. Palestine was thrown out by the margin, and now it's back in the center pages and center news, and the whole world's focus is there. So this is wa makaru wa makarallah, how Allah Ta'ala works. We can never ever understand with our puny little brains the wisdom of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that's one side of the coin. Second side of the coin is this. In Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, and verse number 122, Almighty Allah says that now jihad has got so much virtue. Jihad means what I'm doing now is jihad. We go for salat, and the men read salat in the masjid, so that is jihad. You go and work and earn halal income, sustenance, livelihood is jihad. You women, you go for hajj, you get double thawab. You get reward for hajj and for jihad, remember that. Then you bring up your children and give them the Islamic orientation, that is jihad. So jihad is the holding company. And then you have subsidiaries. You have the branches, and there the greatest one is qital, fighting the enemy. So now it must not happen that everybody just wants to go out one time simultaneously. So chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 122, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافًا. And it does not behove the believers that the men, all of you, go out one time to fight the enemy. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفًا. So from every big group, there should be one small group. And what that small group should do? لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. They should be studying the deen by the grandmasters. And not only scratching the surface, تَفَقُّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The faqub of the fa'ul. So it means you must make every sacrifice to understand this deen of Islam. What are the proofs? What are the maqasid, the aims, the sharia? What should the purpose of it, and so forth and so on? And when you propagate it, present it, it must not be apologetic, not compromising, and so forth and so on. And when you finish, وَلِيُنْذِرُ قَوْمَهُمْ, then come back to your nation and people and warn them with love, إِذَا رَجَوْا إِلَيْهِمْ, when you return to them. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, so that they develop the quality of taqwa, they at least change their life to a great extent. So when we look at Islam, you see from time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some sahaba wa fuqaha, Mu'az bin Jabal, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, all these are the fuqaha and the great, great jurors, remember, of Islam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, and so many others, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and others, they were all the great, great fuqaha and jurors. Then it went on to the tabi'een. In Madinah Munawwara, you had fuqaha e sab'a, the seven great jurors, Sa'id bin Musayyab, Suleiman bin Yasar, and all of them. And then it came down. So it's like this. People say, from where you got this for? The easy example is this. I got 10 sons, I got 4 daughters, 5 daughters, for example. So now my daughters passed away, my sons passed away, and 4 are left. So now when I passed away, only 4 sons were left, so they're going to inherit everything, 25%. So now Allah Ta'ala chose these 4 schools and they will flourish, you must remember. It's Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Almighty Allah creates whatever He wants to. He selects and chooses whoever He wants to. What we did, something special that Allah chooses? Nothing. But you cry to Allah Ta'ala, our parents cried, our teachers cried, and Allah's fadl is the greatest thing and Allah's mercy. So remember, I told you the dua 100 times now. So Allahumma istakhdimna wala tastabdilna. Always for you, the public learn this dua. Allahumma istakhdimna. O Allah, use us for your deen. Make us from those who make khidmat and serve your deen. And then, wala tastabdilna. Do not replace us, because bidhunubina wa kufranina. Every day we committing vices and sin. Every day we showing ingratitude, unthankfulness. So that is what we should realize, is Allah's fadl, hadha min fadli rabbi, hadha rahmatun min rabbi, the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. So when you study the lives of those fuqaha and jurors, then at least you will get inspired. Remember, what things they accomplished in little bit time, in short period of time, and they never had all these gadgets that we have today. We speak here, 1,000,000,000 people can listen in different parts of the world at one time. So obviously they never had all this, and yet they accomplished so much because of their iman, a kamil, perfect iman, their ikhlas and sincerity, and their ta'alluq ma'allah, their connection with Almighty Allah, their love for Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all these were factors that Almighty Allah accepted them. And chapter 2 verse 282, wattaqullah, fear Almighty Allah, inculcate taqwa and true piety, then wa yu'allimukumullah. Allah Jalla Wala becomes your direct teacher. Remember, Allah will inspire you. So many things you never read in the books, you never heard from your teachers, but Allah will put that idea in your head and you will know what to do. Moka e shanasi, mardam shanasi, on which occasion, what to do, what to say. And mardam shanasi, when you speak to your parents, you speak to your teacher, you speak to the juniors, you speak to children, how to behave, interact with them, and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, when was Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born, and his name, full name in detail?
Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, if you study some of the Hanafi books, like the Muqaddama and the introduction on Hidayah, and that they say, the day Imam Abu Hanifa passed away, so that's the day that Imam Shafi'i was born. Everybody doesn't accept it. But what we accept is this, that you must remember the year is 100% the same. So Imam Abu Hanifa, when we gave you his halat and biography, we told you born in 80 and passed away 150. So Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born in the year 150. So that is definite. There's no question about that. What is his name? Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. He's the only one, if you look at his lineage, he goes and meets up with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage as well. Only one from the fuqaha, the only one from the famous jurors is Imam al-Shafi'i. So that's another point you should remember. Then where exactly was he born? So majority scholars say he was born in Gaza. There is another verdict that Waqila wulida fi fil Asqalan. That Asqalan, Ashkalon, as the Jutlas Haramis call it. But if you look at it, this ikhtilaf, this difference of opinion is what you will call, not haqiqi, it's not a real difference of opinion. It is lafzi, more academic. Because if you study your map properly, you will see Gaza and Asqalan are meeting. You understood? So the side here on the left, for example, is Gaza, by the ocean, and then little bit right of it is Asqalan. So you must, it's like twins, you must remember. So if you say yeah or day, it's not going to make a much difference, but rather say it was born in Gaza al-Mubarakah. And that is what we should know today when we speak of Gaza. And we must never use the word Gaza, there's a kufar way. Always say Gaza al-Mubarakah, and it is feminine, remember that. So therefore you say Mubarakah. So Gaza al-Mubarakah. So that is what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born. And then at the age of 2, his father passes away. And remember, they live in poverty, basically. So anyway, after his mother's iddat and everything finished, the family decided, let us migrate. And they migrated, hijrat from there. And where they came? Makkah Mukarramah. Now look at Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. One said, Gaza, 100% it is Al-Ardul Mubarakah, Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the blessed land, the holy land, all that. Then from that holy land, he goes to the holiest land. And that is Makkah Mukarramah, the most sacred land on earth, on this planet. And then he drinks Zamzam water. One way he's drinking Zamzam. He was so poor, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris, when he used to go and learn, he never had money to buy qirtas. He never had money to buy paper also. So he used to write on the bones, he used to write on whatever he could find. See Allah, he chooses yatim. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. And makes him the greatest and the greatest of all time, all places. Imam Shafi is yatim. His father passes away, he's 2 years old, so what is he? He's yatim, obviously. But see, he made him one of the greatest jurors of all time, especially in his time. So that is Qudrat ka Karishma, remember that. Then he drinks Zamzam. He says himself, when I have to drink Zamzam, I have to make 3 du'as. Dua number 1, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and in Muslim Sharif you learn, that Anas bin Malik, the Khadim Khas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I made 3 du'as. 2 du'as I saw in this world. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I made khidmat, and he told me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Allahumma barik lahu fi ahlihi wa malihi. That, you know, that during the time when he was making khidmat and serving, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, midwa, give him barakah in his wealth and in his children. He says, my children in time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and that was already 120 plus minus. Children meaning children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. I told you about Mozambique. So I went there, I met the family. So there was Haji Asabur. So Haji Sabur had 4 wives, 25 children, 104, 124, whatever, 100, but over 100 grandchildren. He knew everybody's name. Therefore, they kept his name Sabur. You must remember that. One masjid also, the Masjid Sabur. So remember that this is our time. And he passed away on a Friday also. Allah loved him so much. So one wife is still alive. She's in Durban and so forth. So it happens like that sometimes. So one dua barakat in his children, grandchildren. Second dua in his mal, in his wealth. Subhanallah, his harvest crops used to come of Anas bin Malik twice a year. And when the harvest crop used to come, barakah of Nabi alayhi salam's dua, then from the crop harvest, khushbu nikalti thi. You must remember there used to be a fragrance and perfume coming out, emanating from the 2. And third one, Jannat al-Firdaus, you see. So therefore, for Sahaba, he passes away there in Basra and that in the year 93. So anyway, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, we say for all of them. So Imam Shafi Rahimullah, first dua, drink zam, Allahumma zukni ilman wafira. Ya Allah, give me profound, abundant knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma, you see. Surah 20, verse 114, subhanallah. And I forgot to tell you, whilst his mother was expecting him, she's already seeing wonderful dreams. Ay mubasharat, as we will say, great tidings. When they used to go for ta'bir, a ru'ya, go by the great ulama, say this, say your child will be a very, very great giant and alim. So already the signs were there. So that obviously brought a lot of solace and inspiration to the mother. Second dua, his love for sunnah and nabawiyah, love to for sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. Today we go just mess around, you know. We go now 1-2 time, I go here and there, people take me, say, come, we take you shooting, you understand? We just take the gun and shoot, and then they make bismillah, bismillah, 10 times and shoot, and sometimes you must shoot. One day I shot right by fluke. People say, you hit it short, one shot. I say, I did bismillah 3 times or 5 times. You understood? You have to call a fluke, you understood? So he wanted to learn archery. So he said, Ya Allah, make me Allah majalni ramiya. You see? So for the love of Sunnah Nabawiyah. So now he says himself, when I used to shoot 9 times out of 10, I used to hit bullseye, as we say, I used to hit the target, you see. So this is how they love the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. Third one, he said, Ya Allah, give me Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So 2 du'as he saw in his life. The other one, definitely, inshallah, through the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, Allah shouldn't accept him like this. So now he grows up. Now at the age of 7, he's Hafiz already. Who's his teacher? For us in South Africa, to know his teacher is compulsory. Why? Because we went to the apartheid regime. We know what the white Burkis and Bura did with the blacks and Africans and so forth. like what the Palestinians and the Muslims are going through in different parts. Worse than that, they also did here. So remember that. So he's an African teacher, Muslim bin Khalid Azanji. Muslim bin Khalid Azanji. Remember that. That was his full name. Zanj were African. Seven, Finnish. He couldn't even find a copy of Monte Imam Malik. He wanted to buy heart it. Don't understood. Some ulama wrote he walked. He walked from Makkah to Medina to get a copy from Imam Malik of Mutta. Some ulama, last night I was studying, some ulama even wrote that. Some ulama say he managed to get the copy there because he was poor. So then he managed to get a copy and he said, quickly, let me buy heart it. You see? Then at the age of 13, his ustad told him, you can teach. He said, but I'm so much poverty. He said, okay, I'll teach. The students who came, he said, you must pay a little bit. So at least he can get some money. Not become scholar for dollar. So that I can buy some kitabs, get some material, you understood? So some money, mum, if I tell you, you must pay me 1 rand a month, a month and a week. But something like that, what I'm trying to say. Some meager amount, you understood? So imagine 7 years old, Hafiz of Quran. 10 years old, Hafiz of Muwatta Imam Malik. And then 13 years old, Kana Yudarrisu bil Haram il Makki. He's teaching in the Haram Sharif. Age of 15, the same Ustad, Muslim bin Khalid Azanji, the African Taulim, you are a genius, you are abqari wa ajaza lahu bil iftah. And he gave him permission of iftah. You can start issuing fatawa. Now today our people, they think that they do want you some hadith kitab, some fiqh kitab, we great mufti and we can. You have to go through a lot of things, you must remember that. See three things here, Muhammad Zaid, for you I'm telling and our esteemed listeners. The first time Imam Malik met him when he was still a young boy, not even baligh if you look at it. At the age of 10, he became Imam Muwatta Imam Malik. Since when you baligh? You're not baligh. You're not mature, you know. So Imam Malik told him, what's your name? He said, Muhammad bin Idris. He said, youngster, I see so much noor coming out from you. Don't go and extinguish that noor via vices and sins. See, innal ilma noorun, Imam Malik used to say, knowledge is really that noor that enters the inner recesses of your heart, and not laysal ilmu bikathrati riwayat. Knowledge is not you remember this. True knowledge is that noor that enters the inner recesses of your heart, and then you increase it, and you draw a dichotomy, distinction between haq and batil. That is what Imam Malik rahimahullah used to say. So we should understand. Then if you go open Diwanu Shafi, I got it here on top. So that his students compiled. He was a master of the Arabic language, a deep par excellence. So he went to his teacher, Waqi bin Jarrah. Now look at the words. Now he's growing up, his academic career for me and you students. We say, no, there's that. But the whole day we want to watch TV. Maulvis and ulama and sheikhs and that. Whole day we want to look at something, YouTube and this tube and Allah alone knows haram tubes. So remember there on the phone and her cell phone, hell phone. So he went to his teacher Waqi bin Jarrah. So listen. Shakotu ila Waqi in su'a hifzi. I went to my beloved teacher Waqi. I said, my memory is getting weaker. Fa'arshadani ila tarakil ma'asi. He told me, oh Shafi'i, you must never commit sin. Sin will commit, but stay away from vices and sin as much as possible. Why? فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ. Because this knowledge is nur and radiance. Here's it here. From Allah min ilahi. شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِئِنْ سُوَىٰ حِفْذِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْطَىٰ لِعَاصِي. And you continue with sense, Allah won't give you this knowledge. Allah will deprive you. We're speaking not of our history and geography and all that. We're speaking of wahyain. Allah Ta'ala will deprive you of the true knowledge of Quran Sharif, the true knowledge of Sunnah Mubarakah, when people indulge all the time, continue with vices. How many people in my class were hafiz, then they forgot the Quran? How many people in my class, that remember, they studied with us everything. Today you ask them, looking inside the book, they can't read one khutbah, Jummah khutbah. Forgot everything, everything. Hey, just carry on, you understood. So Allah protect us. You can take away from us also, but we must cry, we must beg Almighty Allah. Then another important point here is this, that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, now he's studying all these things. See his teachers. You must remember that Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, who is a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, is a student of Imam Malik, and he is ustad of Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani. Who is his teacher? Sufyan bin Uyayna. He is his famous teacher there in Hadith. Remember that, Sufyan bin Uyayna. He is his famous maqula, Lawla a'ananillahu birajulain. Had it not been that Allah Ta'ala assisted me with two people, لَكُنْتُ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I should just be an ordinary Muslim. Who are those two people? Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani fil fiqh wa Sufyan bin Uyayna fil hadith. See, so we must learn all these things here. And like that, they have hundreds of teachers. Imam Malik was his teacher, you understood? Great teacher, used to love Malik, rahimahullah. Imam Malik used to wear new clothes every day. Ta'aziman lil ahadith il mubarakah, and the old ones he gave Imam Shafi, and then because he knew he come from a poor family. So like that, you must remember that that's how they grew up, you see. So from Makkah to Medina and so forth and so forth. And then Allah blessed him with that intelligence and so forth. Allah blessed him with, he must only eat halal. So quickly, three stories quickly, I just digress. But all to do with a lesson. Yeah, in South Africa, I saw him first time in America when I went in 2000 in Washington. There's one guy, he's three-quarter Shia, you understand? Whole day he speaks against the Saudis. First he was with the Saudis, then he had trouble with them, they kicked him out, then he joined the Shias. Asi, they call him Sheikh Asi. So Pakka Shia, you understood? And this. So my students in Pretoria, they had to give a khutbah, you understood? After Asi gave the lecture. So they told Asi that, no, you give the lecture, and that time they didn't know much about him. And we will make the khutbah. I told them that these guys, they Shias, you must watch out of them. So you must read this poetry of Imam Shafi. Fa innal ilma nurum min ilahi. That this knowledge is nur and radiance from Allah. And then when you come to the last line, then look at him. Wa nurullahi la yu'ta li asi. And Allah will not give knowledge to asi. You see? Asi there means a sinner. And his Asi is the Nasab. His lineage go to us and the Sahaba and Tabi. This is what they claim. So these type of things and all these type of things. Understood? So the tribe or whatever it is. So, but it works very well in this context. You got it? Yes. Second one, he went to Baghdad in the year 195. You see? So, and then his greatest student, celebrated student, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was fascinated by his teacher. Every day, Imam Shafi said this. So one day, the student invites the teacher, you see. So now his family and everybody, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and his wife, 30 years, there was no argument between them. Next week when we speak about him, we'll speak. What a great person he was. So he's telling his wife, children, my ustad, my sheikh is coming, this and all. So then they put the food. The way Imam Shafi ate, he finished up all the pots, like, you know. He ate so much, more than ma'amul, than his habit. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is also wondering today, my ustad, really a hungry man, you know. Finished up everything, basically. Right. Then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's daughter, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's daughter, that she put the water, everything, you understood? That Ustadji, my father's teacher, Ustad, father's Ustad, will go wake up the Hajjud. So the water must be there, this must be there, and all that. So lo and behold, Fajr time came, he went there. The water is untouched. So he ate so much, then he never read the Hajjud and all this kind of thing, because the water is not there. So the children disappointed, father, Abati, you saying Shafi, the man ate so much food here. And he finished everything up. And second thing, he never read Tahajjud. So Imam Ahmad also wondering now, what's going on here? Anyway, after that, they came with respect and ihtiram. He said, Ustadji, I want to ask you a few questions. He said, ask. He said, that how come you ate so much? They said, your name is Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hanbal al-Shaybani. I know about you. You didn't touch one cent of your father's estate because you had shirk and doubt regarding one transaction your father did. You were not convinced, but you just had doubt regarding one transaction your father did. So I was 100% sure that whatever morsel I'm eating is 100% not only halal, is halal and tayyibah, and I could feel the ladha and the noor and perceive it in every lukma of mine. You see, what a compliment for Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and his father also, whole life that we know, maybe one transaction was a little bit dicey, you know, not haram. But because of that, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal didn't touch the estate, he gave it away, you see. And that was his taqwa and piety. So Imam Shafi knows about that, so he ate it. He says, regarding the water, I saw it, but when I want to lie down, then few ayats of the Quran came into my mind, so that last night I was sleeping, I made istimbat of 100 masail. All of y'all were sleeping, and I was wide awake, and I was writing down and bahating and so forth and so on. So 100 masail plus minus, I took out an istimbat and extracted the juice from Quran Sharif and Sunnah. Tahajjud time came early morning, I read tahajjud, and then I went fajr, I had my wuzu. That is my teacher. So when he explained his children and daughters, now he's right, you see. So sometimes we also jump to ajib conclusion, say, this guy doesn't mufat yakib, you understand? If this us, that is what we will say, you understood? But you must find out properly and all that. So see, so that what he said. So if you want... That's why I'm dead against all this halal organization and this Sharia compliant and that. You're taking away from the public the importance of halal and tayyibah. You're taking away the hatred for riba and opening the back door for riba. That's what you're doing. You must remember that. And you study Al-Imam Shafi and all of them. They were so meticulous and particular of their, you know, you have in business input, output, the VAT and all that. So they were more particular, not about that, about consuming input, output. What we must eat, what we must drink and so forth and so on. So anyway, Al-Imam Shafi grows up. Now he's going to the different marakis and places to study. Now he's the sheikh himself, he lands up in Baghdad, you see. So when he goes to Baghdad, the Hanafi school flourished there. He can see himself. So when he studied the Hanafi books and that himself, he said, these are the signs of the hallmark of a great scholar. He said, "An-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifata fil fiqh." We all are children of Imam Abu Hanifa in jurisprudence, you see. He used to go to Imam Abu Hanifa's grave Mubarak and make dua there for Imam Abu Hanifa. So one day they told him, make imamut. You see? He made imamut and then he didn't make kunut. Every day they make kunut in Fajr throughout the year. So he didn't make kunut. So his students, you know, they must ask, Sheikh, how come no kunut today? So he said, you see, I read Salat. You see, there's a graveyard. Imam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit is buried there. Ta'ziman li sahibi hadha al-qabr. After respect for the giant, that great Imam who's buried there. He never saw Imam Hanifa, as explained, but he had so much love and respect for him. Good? So that is why I say that today, sometime we take. Yesterday, before yesterday, I was giving one fatwa, one brother asked. You know, oh yeah, the question I remembered. He said, some people make salam. You know, some people make salam after the imam make one salam. Some people make salam after the imam makes both salam. So which one is correct? So I know the guy. I said, that, brother, you see people like you, you'll make issues into tissues and you'll make tissues into issues. You understand? Both are jais. What you have to make such a big noise about this type of things? Eh? Now they'll start fighting. This guy will say, I'm right, and this guy will say, I'm right. Al-Babu Wasi'un is a flexible issue. Just keep it like that. Now what you want to make a big noise about it and all these type of things? But no, I must show, I know more than you. It's actually jahalat, you must remember this. So all 90% of 80% of this ikhtilaf, Shafi'i and Maliki and Hanafi and Hanbali, is ikhtilaf fil afdaliyya wal awaliyya. Very few you will find is tahleel and tahreem and all these type of things. Yeah, comparatively, 80% is like that. Inna makhtalafu li ajli al-haq wa makhtalafu fil haq. So now go ahead and see Imam Shafi's ikhlas and so forth. So anyway, he started writing, speak about his books. He wrote Kitabul he wrote Ar-Risala. Whether we Hanafis like, don't like, you know, we must be fair in all these things. Yeah. The first person to write a book in a proper academic manner, that Usulul Fiqh, was Imam Shafi. Ar-Risala he wrote. Now the Hanafis say, no, it wasn't him, some Hanafis. It was Imam Yusuf. So I always remember what Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah wrote. And if you want to see it in writing, go open Muqaddama of Takmilat of Fathil Mulim. Mufti Taqi Usmani says, my fathers used to tell us, Kunu Hanafiya, wala taj'alil haditha Hanafiya. Remain Hanafi, don't make gold mall, and turn the hadith around and make the hadith a Hanafi. Say the hadith is against the Hanafi school, finish in class, what is the big deal? No faqih, no juror said, I practice on every hadith. You must remember that. So they all had differences, you must remember this. They all were looking for the truth and so forth. So that is a manaqib, the virtue of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. So like that. So anyway, all that happened. So his risala, and if you got the book of Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Shakir, that he made the edited, that's an excellent copy. So I give it away to one of my students, and that I had an excellent copy. The student got very good marks. I said, come here, take this book, it's good for you. So they know they're in Darulum or somewhere, I just give it away. So anyway, that in this way there, you must appreciate the works they wrote. And then another person you must remember, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِمَذْهَبِ شَافِئِيَّ بَعْدَ الْإِمَامِ الشَّافِئِ is Allama Nawawi rahimahullah. He did a lot for the Fiqh al-Shafi'iyya. So he revived the whole Shafi'i school, basically. You look at all his books, subhanallah, today when you want to study Fiqh al-Shafi'iyya, you must read the books which Allama Nawawi rahimahullah wrote. Then in hadith, and then Hafiz ibn Hajar, who can argue with him? So yesterday I was there by Hazrat Mufti Sahib, you see. So Mufti Sahib taught me something, Hazrat Mufti Rizaullah Sahib, Hafizullah. He said, Ibn Hajar ne farmaya ke mujhe zahabi banna hai, lekin nahi ban sake. So he told me like that. So I said, let me go make research, you know. So I got nice book there. So I read Zahabi, and I read Allama Zahabi, and I read Ibn Hajar. So Allama Zahabi came first, he passed away, then Ibn Hajar was born. So Ibn Hajar used to hear about him, Allama Zahabi. So when he went Makkah and that, he also was born Palestine side in it. So they come from there, original. So anyway, so he come to Makkah, he drink water and lot of them. He say, Allah, give me memory like Allama Zahabi. Give me memory like Allama Zahabi. But still he couldn't get such a memory like Allama Zahabi. In memory, Ibn Zahabi is greater. But all right scholar, Ibn Hajar is greater. Ibn Hajar was 100% Shafi'i. You understood? That's why he wrote the whole Bulughul Maram and Bukhari and whatever. So Hafiz al-Dunya, if you write just Waqal al-Hafiz, in Hadith terminology, it refers to Ibn Hajar. Sheikh Albani says, Lam yulad mithlahu ba'dahu. So if you want to understand the Fiqh Shafi'i and Dalail, you must know Bulughul Maram. And you must try and by heart it also. You see, it's very good, that kitab. Bulughul Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. So all this is related to the Shafi'i fiqh and so forth. Now, he makes khair bad. He bids farewell. 195, you see. He left Baghdad. He goes to Egypt and so forth. He's studying. They go from here to there, to there, to there, and all these places. So when he went there, so the people crying now, a beloved sheikh who studies leaving, what must be? So they ask him, who must we go to? You going now? He said, go to him, my student, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who wa afqah wa atqah. You understand? He got more fiqh than me also, out of tawadu, and he's got too much taqwa, and he does, and arwa, and all that. So he praised him lavishly in it. But see, what is student and what is teacher? You, Muhammad Zaman, or Zaid Khan, Damul Barakatu. Today, our teacher, we see, we run away. You understand? How many times you see like that? A student will see you, but because he trimmed his beard or shaved his beard, he'll make like he never saw you. Or maybe he's wearing funny clothes or something. Three lessons. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, whenever I used to make dua, this was my dua. Allahumma ighfir li wa li walidayya wa li ustadi Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. Every day. So how we can imbibe knowledge, but we don't make dua? That's what beats me, you know. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that before I used to sleep at night, then 30 years, 3-0, it was my ma'mool, it was my habit, that I would make special dua for Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He made me a giant. You know, that's what he means. If there was no, like you hear, Lola Aliyun Lahalaka Umar, or Lola Fana, they should be like that. So if there wasn't Shafi'i, then Ahmad shouldn't shine. You know, so like this type of things. Yeah. So he made him into that what he was, out of Allah's grace and mercy, obviously. So then they asked Imam Shafi'i, they asked Imam Ahmad, the whole day we hear you speak the Shafi'i, tell us who Shafi'i, they never saw Shafi'i. So he said, a Shafi'i ka shamsi lid dunya. Shafi'i is like the sun. See the sun, how is it shining now? Millions, billions of people taking benefit. They were speaking of Imam Shafi'i. Born 150, passed away 204. After all happening in Gaza, the whole name of Imam Shafi'i is shining more now. Our own ulama students don't know Imam Shafi'i was born there. How many of them don't know? Now they're learning slowly. So it's no shame. We must keep on learning and learning and learning. So these type of things you must know. Now Imam Shafi'i whole life turns. When he goes there, he meets other muhaddisin and scholars and so forth and so on. So that this is the separating line. They want name. People who want to attack Imam Shafi'i, they want to criticize him. Say, no, Imam Shafi'i was not good scholar. Allah forbid, they say like that. So we ask them why. They say he's Sahibul Qawlain. Everywhere he got like two Qawls, Qawl Qadim, Qawl Jadid. So from the year, you must remember, 150 he was born, then his academic career started when he finished Hibs and all that, 7 years old, and then he starts studying and so. So now what he's writing, till 199 is all Qawl Qadim. You must remember Haddul Fasil. What is the separating line? Till 199, because 195 he entered Baghdad, 199 he went there. So in this year, then what happens is this, he met great muhaddisin and scholars there in Egypt. So then he realized, my verdict here is not 100% correct. You understood? So he made ruju, he withdrew and retracted and said, no, my fatwa is no more that, this is my fatwa. My fatwa is no more this is my fatwa. That is when he wrote Kitabul Kitabul is when he went that side, to Egypt and so forth and so on. Therefore, till today, you will find majority of the Shafi, of the Egyptians, that they follow the Shafi school. That's different thing today, they're not interested, majority of them. But Aslan, they follow the Shafi school. So Imam Shafi then, so now if you study Fiqh Shafi'iyya, only 17 Masail Fatawa are still based on Qawl Qadim. Understood? The old fatwa. And the majority, 95%, is based on Qawl Jadid. So you can't. This is the weakness of us, our Darulums, Madrasas, and that. They just take any Qawl of Imam Shafi'i and tell you this is the Shafi'i Qawl. And you want to explain to the students the Shafi'i verdict through a Hanafi Kitab. Now, how can that be justified? And then the debate starts. Hanafi ne yuka, Shafi ne yuka. But you took the wrong call of the Shafi'i. So, I mean, that's very poor. It's not a true scholarship that. It's khiyanat actually in one way. You must take the rajih call. You must take the fatwa call of the Shafi'is and then compare it with the Hanafis and you will see then there won't be so much ikhtilaf like how we present it sometimes. You understand? So we need to be very careful there. Any Darulum, I always give advice. You want to teach Maliki fiqh, you must go to the Maliki works. You want to teach Hanbali fiqh, go to the Hanbali works. And authentic works, go to the Shafi'i works there. Use Hanafi book. You can't be studying a Hanafi book or Shafi book and then giving them the Maliki Mazhab. I mean, even ethically is wrong. You must remember that. Scholarly also is wrong. So like that. So anyway, then Imam Shafi rahimahullah now is very, very understood, famous there and so forth. But kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. So now the time came, is the last day of Rajab, you see. And now you must remember he's in his last moments and so forth. So now it's a night of Friday. It's night of Friday, Laylatul Jumu'ah, and his sakarat started. It's already Maghrib time, after Maghrib, like today. So after Maghrib now, so you must remember, then he fell very sick and so forth. And thereafter, then he passed away. So many people. Only after Asr they had janazah salat. People came from where and where. I went to his grave Mubarak. So from Cairo central day is far. And that traffic is another story. So alhamdulillah, we visited all four. Imam Malik is there in Medina. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is there in Baghdad, next to the Tigris. But there's no qabr because it's the water. And then Imam Abu Hanifa is there. So he's karamat, Imam Abu Hanifa's karamat. After he passed away, the whole area's name changed. So that area is called A'zamiya. I got one book here, Tariqh al-A'zamiya, excellent book. You get the history of the Hanafi fiqh. And Imam Shafi is buried there, understood? There in Cairo, so like that. So now we must learn the Shafi fiqh, you see. So this is how then you learn their contribution to Islam and so forth and so on and so on. So if you want to know the greatness of a person, ask who are your teachers, you see. So if you look at the chain, Imam Hanifa is on top, then you have Imam Muhammad and Imam Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Malik, then Imam Malik's student is Imam Muhammad, then Imam Malik is the teacher, Imam Shafi comes there, Imam Muhammad is his teacher, then he is the teacher, you must remember, of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is the teacher of Imam Bukhari. You see how it all gets interlinked and intertwined like. So you must remember that. So that is big thing. Now today, what has happened is this, that people want shortcuts, you see. So you must go stay there and study and this. We can do DIY. You know, DIY. Do it yourself. Just pick up the internet and just press, you see. And then we will sort it out in this type of things there. So this one said this one. You can't study like that. Me personally, if you ask me, even those online studies and not. Now yesterday, for yesterday, I had to teach, you know, online. So I think about 3-4 months. And then I said, this, I don't like it. So students from Australia, at first it's time difference, and they 6 hours ahead of us, 8 hours, I don't know how many hours. Then all that, then the internet don't work properly, and a lot of stories. So anyway, so they say they benefited a lot, so they're coming now, in August, September, I don't know when, August, I think, end of all. So they say, please, you want to meet me? I say, yeah, come, we got no protocol, anybody can meet us. So they appreciate what we taught them. But if you want to study real knowledge, then you have to go to the teacher and sit by him. And then you get Sina Basina. You see, when you study Ghare Hira, Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai Sahib says, why our madrasas today don't produce the real ulama, the real great? He says the most of them, 99%, Maulana will tell you 100%, but I'm saying 90% of them have moved away from Ghare Hira. What it means, moved away from Ghare Hira? The madrasa is supposed to be a simple place, where the teachers, students are all prepared to make some qurbani. Hazrat bin Nuri, rahimahullah, used to tell the students, Hazrat bin Nuri, the teachers rather, this month I don't have any money to give you all as teachers. If any one of you want to go, you can go, you got my permission, you see. And I won't blame you. You got your family, you got wife, they all used to cry and nobody go. So today you go tell her, say bye, salam alaikum, me jaro, what you talking nonsense here? So you see, that is how. So you bring the Ghare Hira. The Ghare Hira, you now madrasas have become like, you know, university. That is 5-star and this and that. We gave them so much comfort, you must remember that. So the real purpose of studying is forgotten and this type of things and all that. They must Fajr Salat, they're so comfortable in the bed. So this type of, you understand what I'm saying? So that is our problem today. So therefore, I don't agree with this online business and all these type of things. It's all hit and run business, if you ask me. So you must sit by the teacher. You see, like I go now, you know Wednesday is and go sit by Mufti. So you must sit like that. I mean, the Ustad give you time, is doing me a great favor, Hazrat, you know. So this time, then you imbibe the knowledge, you see. That is how they studied. That they would go to the teacher and say, please teach us, you see. Last week, two weeks ago, Mufti Sahib asked me, you studied by Mufti Shahid? I said, gee, Hazrat, I studied by him. I'm still surprised this is alive. I said, Hazrat, like in both Bimar, and he don't come one day, he teach 2 days, you know, he say, yeah. Now I know about all that, you see. So I said, then I went to Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib. And I told Hazrat, when I came from so far, I want to study, you must teach me, please. So he told me, Dave, you know Newtown Madrasa, he told me that Pallah there, you must come after Asar, I'll teach you. Then there was Ismail Pirbai from PE, Ismail Ayub Pirbai. His father used to read Quran very well. When Qari Abdul Basir came, the first time he read Qirat. Piri, we called him Piri, Pirbai. Good soccer player, cricket player. We used to play together, they in Karachi. So anyway, so Bichara, his father passed away and then he came back and then. So anyway, Hafiz Ismail Pirbai. So anyway, so he told me to join me. I said, yeah, come sit here. Then Mufti Sahib was teaching. When we came to Hidayah, I was teaching as Kuduri. When we came to Hidayah, I say, how? All this I did already. So he told us he's going to teach us Kuduri, but in reality, he taught us Hidayah. So then Mufti Sahib told me, what a Mahir taste, man. So that is how we learned a lot. So the point I want to make, our weakness today is this, we don't want to go to the teacher. We say, nah, yeah, fari ho gaya. You see? Say, Mona Zaid sahab fari ho gaya. To fari ho gaya, we make chutti, we go for good. You can't do that. You know, you must go back to the teachers. Go back to do them if you want to be serious scholar. And then, Minal, we end off on this and then we go for the news. Knowledge is not hadith, but a nice saying. From the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, Minal Mahdi ila Lahdi, from the mountain to the fountain. You see, that is knowledge. You must remember that. The true knowledge. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we always remain students. Nowadays, if you don't call him Hazrat Maulana and Hazrat Mufti Sahib and Hazrat Das, he both naraz ho jate. So what is that now? We made this Hazrat title also so cheap. Every second Mufatiya is a Hazrat nowadays. Those guys who become Khalifa and Murid, and then you don't call them Hazrat, they get upset. But they say they're in tasawuf. By what? I call one guy, they say, Maulisab, come here. He looked at me like a crooked, you know. So this type of thing, because everybody calls him Hazrat, you know. So what? We're fooling ourselves. There's illusion and delusion in this thing here. You must never do that. You must remember Sayyidina Umar's waqiya, Ya Umair. He's Amirul Mu'minin, a lady called him Umair. He said, I know you from when you were small. You see? Yeah. So Allah give us tawfiq.
Ameen.
Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.